Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, for those of you just getting up and rolling with us here, we had Montana's Western District Congressman Ryan Zinke join us for the bulk of the 6 o'clock hour. We would have got him on later in the morning, but he's got a busy morning. We wanted to get him on first thing talking about the water levels at Flathead Lake and the agreement he helped to broker with the Interior Secretary. But Tim and Billings called in with a great point about these radical far-left so-called No Kings protests. And he said, look, I just think a bunch of these people are just paid to be out there and to cause this chaos in the streets. And on that point, here is Kim Strassel. She actually wrote a column on that very topic for the Wall Street Journal. She was on the Journal editorial report on Fox News over the weekend.
Paul, we've been doing this for 10 years now. I went back and looked just at the many protests that were held in the first months of the first Trump administration, from the women's marches on all the way through a day without immigrants, a tax march, a May Day protest. None of this convinced the Trump administration to change any of its policies. But what it has done is produce this professionalized protest rioting movement that now sucks up all the headlines when you go out. Look, Democrats might have an argument to be made about deportation policy. Nobody is hearing it. And while there will probably be protesters that go out this weekend that are being peaceful, the headlines will all be about those that are not and those that are mobilizing too. And there's going to be more frozen water bottles thrown at officials and riots in the streets and interactions with cops. And that will be the headline. I don't see how that helps Democrats at all.
Yeah, great point made there by Kim Strassel. And we've already talked about some of the very far left groups that are funding and actually paying some of these protesters. But really, it just makes the Democrats look even more absurd and forces their candidates to take even more absurd positions because they have to rally to their far left base. Evelyn Pyburn, before we get to the business news here, we've got about a minute before our first news and weather break here. What was your take on these far left protests over the weekend?
Oh, not much. I always look around to see some noted Democrats, people that are well known or anything, and I never see any. So, and I'm sure glad that they're coming out to emphasize that so many of these protests are paid for, and because it's been going on a long, long time. You know, back when they were protesting the pipeline, the people in the tribes around there, they were saying they didn't recognize most of the people who were protesting. And I've just been, this has always been a kind of undercurrent to the story that didn't make the headlines, is that these were paid for and bussed in. Many of them, that was one place I heard that they were coming in from other parts of the country, was bus drivers saying they would readily tell the bus drivers that they were getting paid to come here and protest.
Great point. To make it look like the locals were opposed to something good, like an energy pipeline that would bring a lot of revenue into the local counties and the local areas. Yeah, I think people are seeing through it. They can bang their little drums all day long, but people see through it. All right, more with Evelyn right after this.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. For today, look for partly sunny skies with scattered strong to severe storms possible later into the day. High temperatures reaching the upper 70s to lower 80s. Then for tonight, still that chance for some stronger storms, especially this evening, with lows dropping back to around 50 degrees for Bozeman. Closer to the mid-50s, though, for Billings. And that's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Michael Caro.
This is House Call for Health. June is National Safety Month, an annual observance to focus on safety in the workplace and other places too. It was started in June of 1996 by the National Safety Council as a call to action to reduce preventable injuries and deaths on the job. The National Association of County Administrators is taking the lead on safety this year, noting that in 2022, unintentional injuries were the third leading cause of death in U.S. counties, and the counties are major employers and service providers that are uniquely positioned to address risks through training, community engagement, and policy. Deaths and injuries in the workplace can disrupt services, reduce productivity, and drive up costs. 2025 is broken into several safety topics, including continuous improvement, employee engagement, roadway safety, and well-being. You can get more information at countyadministrators.org. Or for more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
A lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe. Bye-bye.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Are we going to be rocking the Bakken a little more now? Just saw a headline in the Big Sky Business Journal hot sheet. Plus, what about interest rates? Look, President Trump is reining in government spending. That's reining in inflation. So why doesn't the Fed rein in the interest rates? First, though, let's start with this topic. Great to have Evelyn Pyburn from the Big Sky Business Journal with us here. So, Evelyn, you know, Yellowstone National Park just had another record May, I think it was, the numbers that came out. You know, anybody that goes to Yellowstone National Park in the summertime will tell you, man, that place is so packed, so crowded. It's like a parking lot. And then you get these busloads of all these foreigners, a lot of busloads of Chinese visitors to our national parks in particular. But you were telling me that apparently the Secretary of the Interior is looking at a plan to raise entry fees for our national parks on foreigners. That's an interesting story.
Yes, and apparently this is commonly done in other countries where if you're from a different country, you get charged more to visit their parks or monuments or whatever. But the Interior Secretary, Doug Burgum, is saying that he wants to increase rates, fees for foreigners, and he, as well as cutting the national parks budget by $1 billion. And but you know, like I said, apparently this is common practice in other countries, and they say, you know, there's comments saying, well, you know, it's not really going to impact these visitors after you spend thousands of dollars to come here. $10 or $20 increase at the park gate isn't going to deter you from visiting. And Burgum didn't say how much the increase will be, but he estimated it would generate around $90 million. But that's a lot lower than what this has been advocated by PERC, which is a think tank in Bozeman.
Yeah.
And they suggest that a $25 surcharge on foreign visitors would raise $330 million. So, yeah, you know, I don't think that there's much negative on this idea. And, you know, we all pay taxes, and visitors from foreign countries don't have to pay the taxes that go to, you know, maintain these parks. And this is just a way of helping to maintain them. And I think there's a lot of deferred maintenance that most of these parks need. So it would raise some needed revenue.
Yeah, it just seems to make sense. It's kind of like, you know, with Glacier National Park,
you know, when they under the Biden administration, when they implemented this reservation system where you need a reservation to drive through Glacier, which is just so outrageous because, you know, I grew up as a kid, you know, driving the Going to the Sun Highway, and it was like you just go in and go whenever you want and enjoy the beauty of the park. And then now for local Montanans to be told that you can't access your park whenever you want is just such a slap in the face. And it's like, why don't you make the foreigners, have to reserve a time to go through the park and let the locals, you know, go through like we've always been able to go through. We're the ones that bear the burdens of the infrastructure to access the park. We're the ones that bear the burdens of the higher real estate and the higher hotel prices as a result of all of the influx of tourists. So seems like we should get, you know, we should get a little bit more of a thank you for bearing those burdens.
Yes, I totally agree. And anything right now to reduce the government expenditures that help, you know, reduce our national debt is a strategy that has to be pursued. Sometimes it maybe does have a negative impact in another direction, but there's nothing more negative than our debt, which is going to eventually, you know, it's going to dwarf all other problems. And I think that all these steps are really important.
That's right. Speaking of the national debt, that's one more reason why the Federal Reserve needs to lower interest rates. A lower interest rate would also lower the national debt burden facing this country. It looks like all economic signs point to the fact that Donald Trump has stabilized our economy following the Biden train wreck years. He's tempered inflation by reining in the federal government spending. So all signs point to lowering the interest rates. What is holding the Fed back?
Politics?
Anti-Trump politics, was on display over the weekend?
Yeah, you know, I read all these articles, economically speaking, and for a long time they just were coming out with all kinds of horrible predictions about what was going to happen, and now then they try to not have to mention the positive news, and they tiptoe around it, and it's very interesting how they write some of these articles and avoid having to say that all their predictions were wrong and they haven't materialized. So, but I don't think we're out of the woods completely, but it's when you think of what Trump is trying to do in the long term, it might be worth holding our breath and you know, waiting a while before we jump the gun and think it's going to be all bad. But I think it's going to come out okay in the end because all these countries are doing pretty much what Trump had hoped. So,
They're making trade deals. Apparently there's more trade deals that are going to be announced soon. President Trump is heading up to Canada, or he's already there. I think he's on the way as we speak for the G7 summit up there. All right, hold that thought. More to follow with Evelyn Pyburn from the Big Sky Business Journal. We'll talk about Rockin' the Bakken and some huckleberry ice cream next.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Montana isn't a big company state, yet we do have important businesses in our midst. Depending on where you live, you might be familiar with some. Conglomerates like Washington Corp, banks like First Interstate or Glacier, energy and mining companies, or even Northwestern Energy. Here's one that may have escaped your attention, Confederated Salish and Kootenai Tribes. The tribe is many things, but one of the things that's left off the list for many of us is the fact that it's a thriving business, or more accurately, the owner and operator of a range of businesses. There are businesses of manufacturing, power generation, finance, technology, and recreation. Some of those, such as S&K Technologies, have substantial footprints outside the region. Oh yes, CSKT is also a government, with schools, administrative departments, and road and law enforcement employees. Montana's seven other tribes also have substantial business activities, but none match the breadth and scope of Salish and Kootenai businesses that hide from many of us in plain sight. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
There was an absolute barrage of stories in the press day after day saying an Israeli attack on Iranian nuclear facilities could be imminent, could be any moment now. Even though President Trump privately, it was reported, and this isn't clearly based on U.S. military and intelligence sources, was against it, wanted to keep negotiating with the Iranians. So once Israel launched that very successful strike, well, then the president came out and said, this was great, terrific, congratulating Israel. The question is, was this deliberate deception, as some pundits are suggesting? Was the president trying to make the Iranians feel like this was not really about to happen? In other words, did he, in order to catch the Iranians off guard, try to suggest that this was not an imminent attack? All of those questions will have to be answered sometime soon with your Media Minute. Howard Kurtz, Fox News.
This is Poll Parade with Fox News Director of Polling, Dana Blandon.
People are curious about who we contact for our Fox News surveys. Many think we only reach out to Fox News viewers. That's definitely not the case. The people we interview have no idea it's for Fox. That's because we don't want to chance that it will nudge a respondent to answer questions one way or another. Our goal is to learn how everyone feels about the issues. We also don't contact people who have signed up to take polls. Instead, we use a random sample of voters, which means every voter who has a phone, mostly cell phones but also some landlines, has an equal chance of being contacted and sharing their views confidentially. It's how we ensure we get an accurate read of how the whole country truly feels. In fact, to ensure we're reaching everyone, we also send text messages so respondents can complete the survey online as well as phone. I'm Dana Blanton, and that's your Poll Parade.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
With immigration enforcement ramping up across the nation, President Trump last week echoed statements he made back in April that an executive order is coming for agriculture and hospitality, two industries that depend heavily on migrant labor.
Our farmers are being hurt badly by, you know, they have very good workers. They've worked for them for 20 years. They're not citizens, but they turned out to be, you know, great. And we're going to have to do something about that. We can't take farmers and take all their people and send them back because they don't have maybe what they're supposed to have, maybe not.
President Trump didn't specify what the new executive order will include or when it might take effect. But his administration acknowledges the pressure on food producers, with nearly half of the nation's 2 million farm workers lacking legal status or a guest worker visa.
And you know what's going to happen and what is happening? They get rid of some of the people because, you know, you go into a farm and you look and people don't, they've been there for 20, 25 years and they've worked great and the owner of the farm loves them and everything else. And then you're supposed to throw them out. And you know what happens? They end up hiring the people, the criminals that have come in, the murderers from prisons and everything else. So we're going to have an order on that pretty soon, I think. We can't do that to our farmers. And leisure, too, hotels. We're going to have to use a lot of common sense on that.
Congress has been working on a fix with the Farm Workforce Modernization Act. The bipartisan bill has passed the House twice, but stalled in the Senate each time. It was recently reintroduced. I'm Lane Nordlund.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, jumping back into it here with Evelyn Pyburn from the Big Sky Business Journal. I've got, this is interesting, some big news for Wilcoxon's Ice Cream, a beloved Montana institution, as Evelyn writes in the hot sheet here. Evelyn, during the break, I had to grab my Ideal Protein chips from Billings Last Diet because I knew we were going to be talking about Wilcoxon's Ice Cream here. I was at an event, my daughter's last orchestra concert of the year, and they had ice cream afterwards, and I saw that Wilcoxon's Huckleberry Ice Cream Sandwich. I was like, okay, I got to have one of those. You can't skip that one, right?
That's right. There's few things that perks up people's interest in Wilcoxon's Ice Cream. Most recently has acquired a new owner. Neil Schultz from Bozeman has purchased the company, which is based in Livingston. Neil Schultz, by the way, is originally from Billings, but Schultz has said that he plans to keep everything pretty much as it is. He has no plan. He and the former owner want to make sure that Wilcoxon's remains a Montana company, and of course, there is a manufacturing plant here in Billings where they make Wilcoxon's ice cream bars, ice cream sandwiches, and the fudge bar. So, and I don't know, I've heard some incredible stories of people having Wilcoxon's ice cream sent to them, you know, flew cross-country, or parents saying they visited their college student and their one order was to bring them a box of fudge bars. I mean, people love their Wilcoxon's ice cream in Montana. So this is a pretty big story. It's a 112-year-old business, and I think that speaks volumes for how good the ice cream is and how well they have done.
That's so cool, too, that the owner wanted to make sure that the company remains a Montana company and pretty much just wants to keep a good thing going, a good Montana thing going. That's very cool to see. Founded in Livingston, as Evelyn pointed out, in 1912 by Carl Wilcoxon. The company has a production branch in Billings going back to the 1950s at 114 North 19th Street, which is where they make all those ice cream bars, ice cream sandwiches, and, yeah, I almost forgot about the fudge bar as well. That's been in operation there since the 1950s, but, yeah, very cool. Yeah, so I grabbed my Ranch Dorado Ideal Protein chips because I was like, oh, man, all this talk about ice cream. Time for my mid-morning snack. Yeah, this thing, it's got, let's see, how many grams? 15 grams of protein, only 150 calories in this bag of protein chips, and they taste really good. And of course, I picked them up at Billings Last Diet, and you can too. If you're looking to lose the weight but keep the muscle mass, you know, lose weight the healthy way, or if you're somebody who's doing, you know, those GLP-1s like Ozempic, you really want to make sure you don't destroy your body in the process. And so Ideal Protein can help you, you know, maintain your muscle mass and feed your body the nutrition that it needs while losing the weight. So check them out, BillingsLastDiet.com, or give them a call, 294-6751. Evelyn, what about this news out of the Bakken? You know, with all the news going on in Iran right now, you know, there's concern about could the strait get shut down? Could that skyrocket oil prices to $100 a barrel? But even without the Iran news in the picture, it sounds like the Bakken oil field here in the Montana, North Dakota region could grow.
Yes, I think a lot of it has to do with new technology and equipment, whatever, but they are saying that the oil industry sees growth in the Bakken. Expansion of the existing pipeline network is underway. North Dakota has 30,000 plus miles of pipelines, and it's used for gathering the oil as well as transmitting it. And for years, that focus has been on the drilling rig count to gauge how much activity was going on in the Bakken. But now the count is focused on the number of frac crews. And again, that has to do with the technology that they're using. And Justin Kringstad, who's director of the North Dakota Pipeline Authority, said things look very, very positive, assuming all systems stay in service, with anticipated continued growth in the energy sector. Pipelines may be able to help mitigate challenges likely to come in the next few years, with an expansion in 2027. But going forward, there appears to be a shortfall in statewide gas processing, because it's a chicken or egg scenario, he said. But I've read other things too that is predicting nothing but good things from the Bakken. And of course, being so close to Montana, that's good news for Billings because...
And the Montana economy. All right, I want to come back to Evelyn Pyburn with the Big Sky Business Journal. And then we've got the phone lines open for you. If you got something you want to talk about, 406-294-0970. In fact, I was going to joke with Evelyn here for a second. I was like, oh, this big news about the Bakken looking to grow. You know, where was our Mondakistan bureau chief? Where was our Mondakistan correspondent with this report? No, I'm just kidding. Tim and Savage always does a great job calling in. In fact, I had a message on the Montana Talks app earlier from from Tim and Savage. He says this, oh, that was rich. I just heard Tampon Tim, you know, the governor of Minnesota, saying violence has no place in politics. These radical leftists have been the agitators talking for political violence, but now they want to say violence has no place in politics. Yeah, Tim, I've got a 2-minute montage of Democrats basically calling for violence. So sickening. It's sickening, this attack on these lawmakers in Minnesota that took place over the weekend. We'll talk about that and more here in just a second. And then, let's see, Jay in Billings also said this about the No Kings protests. The placard reads, No Kings. I agree with the following notation. Before the founding of this country, it was the original intent of my forefathers to live a life of self-governance. Having no kings has made America the land of the free. But the left-leaning mob protesting and violence across the nation, they want us to believe what is not true. I say these street demonstrations are nothing more than devilish antics promoted by evil men who themselves want to destroy our republic. The enemies of our freedom need to be exposed, and we should separate them from ourselves. We owe them nothing. That was from Jay in Billings earlier this morning. Yeah, Evelyn, so we've got about a minute here to go, and thanks for your time. But, yeah, you look, if the Bakken starts rocking again, an expansion of the Bakken oil and gas fields in the Montana-North Dakota region, you were making a great point. This is good for Montana. It's good for the Billings economy in particular.
Yeah, and there's lots of other news coming from that direction with the coal mines and coal strip, the change in regulations that guarantee that coal strip will continue to provide us energy. There's just a lot of really good news coming at us from numerous directions that plays into the basic economy for Yellowstone County and Montana. So, yeah, we hopefully are on a really good road here to greater, a better economy.
And higher wage jobs for actual everyday working class folks. I mean, yeah, our economy is doing well in Montana because of, you know, higher wage folks that moved in from other states. But again, we need these high-wage jobs for everyday working-class Montanans. That's what mining and oil and gas, timber, all of it. That's what that delivers. That's what that brings. Evelyn Pyburn, great reporting as always. Thanks so much for your time. Phone lines are open right after this.
It's morning in Montana. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, phone lines are open for you, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app as well here. Yeah, I put this story together last night. A lot of coverage coming from Roy McKenzie with Western MT News. He put together a great report out of the People's Republic of Missoula. Crazy on display for the far-left No Kings protests in Montana. Yeah, I was driving my daughter back. She was at the swimming pool with her friends on Saturday, and we go past this car, and just covering up the entire back window of this car, F Trump, F ICE. And really, that's all you need to know about these No Kings protests. They hate President Trump. Hate. Hatred. They're filled with hatred. They hate President Trump. And they don't want criminal illegal aliens deported. That seems to sum up a whole lot of crazy on full display at the dark money-fueled, far-left, No Kings protests over the weekend. Here are some excerpts from what Roy McKenzie reported for Western MT News. On Saturday afternoon, protesters gathered at the X's in downtown Missoula to oppose President Trump, voice support for Palestine and trans rights, decry alleged Social Security cuts, even though there are no Social Security cuts, especially to your benefits, and air a range of frustrations as part of the nationwide No Kings protest movement. Many of the same groups that backed the earlier demonstrations in Missoula and nationwide, including the Indivisible, you know, Soros-connected group, 50501, and local Democrat socialist contingents, were visible in the crowd in downtown Missoula once again. Several signs read 8647. You guys remember that? 8647 was used by disgraced former FBI director James Comey, who basically was urging somebody to take President Trump out, even though President Trump has already had, you know, multiple assassination attempts on his life. Protesters, Roy McKenzie reports for Western MT News, shouted familiar rally chants like, "Show me what democracy looks like," while others screamed, "Dump Trump, F MAGA, impeach the a-hole." The crowd was awash in hand-painted signs bearing slogans like F MAGA, F Trump, "No one is illegal on stolen land." That's one of the stupidest lines they always use. "Fight fascism," and "Down with the broligarchs." I guess they didn't get the memo from the Washington Post that the American people don't want to hear them use stupid words like the oligarchy. Rainbow flags, trans flags, upside down American flags. That was what was on display. And it wasn't just the Missoula one. I saw photos from all the others. And it was the typical F Trump, F MAGA type of stuff. State Senator Jeremy Treves, a Republican out of Great Falls, summed up the irony of the absurdly named protests with a post on X. Let me read it word for word here, what he had to share. It's in that Montana Talk story. Okay, I'll tell you what I'll do. I am going to go into that Montana Talk story because it's not on my printout here, so I can tell you what he had to say. But basically, I mean, he's stating the obvious, which is what we all know, which is here these people are at their No Kings protest. But look, why was this great republic established? It wasn't just established so that we wouldn't have a king and we wouldn't be ruled by a king. This great republic was established and fought for and defended so that we wouldn't be ruled by a tyrannical government. But that's what these so-called No Kings protesters want. They are defending a tyrannical government, a governmental bureaucracy that nobody elected, so they can stand in the way of a president and a Congress and governors and state legislators that you, the people, elected. They want unelected bureaucrats to be the kings. They want Supreme Court justices and judges to be the kings with unchecked power to do whatever they want. And these are the same people who would yell at you in a grocery store, who tried to be tyrants towards you if you showed up in a grocery store not wearing one of their stupid little masks that they wanted you to wear. Jeremy Treves said this: "The No Kings people were fine with governors single-handedly closing businesses without any precedence in law." And that's just one example. These people will use the tyranny of the federal government to shut down your timber business, to shut down your coal mine, to shut down your oil and gas operations, to kill your jobs. And they want to, you know, pretend to care about no kings. Again, this whole no kings label, they want to be tyrants over you in your day-to-day lives, but then they pretend that they're standing up to kings when they push tyranny. These are the people that want to reach their hand in your back pocket and take more and more of your money all the time in the form of higher taxation. Yet they want to pretend that they're the ones who are opposing, you know, tyranny or kings. It's just this whole No Kings movement is just like Tim Walz being selected to be the running mate for Kamala Harris. Remember, Tampon Tim Walz is such a freaking weirdo. The guy put tampons in the bathrooms for third grade little boys. But yet, what did Tampon Tim say the moment that a working class Marine Corps veteran like J.D. Vance was selected to be the vice presidential candidate for President Donald Trump? Tampon Tim, the weirdo in chief, called Republicans weird, called J.D. Vance weird. When they're the party of drag queen shows targeting kids, when they're the party of illegal alien invasions, when they're the party that wanted to defund the very police that just launched the manhunt that captured the assassin in Minnesota, the very police that they wanted to defend, the very police they attacked, thankfully just went out and captured that assassin. Who, by the way, was a Tim Walz political appointee, if you haven't heard that in some of the news reports here. So they call people weird when they're weird. They claim that they don't want kings when they're the ones that endorse tyranny over and over and over again. Now, on a lighter note, did you guys see? So Lawrence Bush is a reporter for the Bozeman Daily Chronicle. And so Lawrence was tweeting out videos and photos from the No Kings protest in downtown Bozeman. Did you guys see the crazy kooky Kool-Aid drinking bongo drum playing chorus of left-wing ladies? Did you guys, you got to go watch this video. You might have to scroll down for a little while. Go to x.com/Aaron Flint. I mean, they look like a bunch of Kool-Aid drinking cultists. They're all in a line. They all have like these plastic, look like, you know, plastic paint buckets. And they're all drumming and they're all chanting. I mean, these are the people that wanted you to drink the Kool-Aid, that wanted to force you to get the jab, that wanted to force you to wear masks, that shut down your schools, that shut down your churches, but kept Planned Parenthood up and running. And they look like a bunch of Kool-Aid drinking cultists while they bang their drums in downtown Bozeman.
This is what
This is what insanity looks like. You people look absolutely nuts. I'm sure some of you are nice people, but you look completely freaking nuts. So keep doing it. Keep doing it, Democrats, because, I mean, you are taking the most absurd positions imaginable. And your far left base that are out there banging their little handmade bongo drums, chanting along, are only forcing Democrat candidates to drink the Kool-Aid and adopt the craziest, most insane policies out there. You're talking about defunding ICE and abolishing ICE so these criminal illegal aliens can keep taking jobs from working class people, the very same working class people who are then told that they have to pay for the health care and all the other free stuff for those same illegal aliens. I mean, it's absolutely insane, the positions that these people are taking. But yeah, check out the photos and some of the other highlights. I should add that tweet into the highlight reel so people can find it a little easier. I'm going to go do that right now during the break. Phone lines are open, 294-0970.
Fox News commentary.
Senator Alex Padilla found out the hard way what happens when you attempt to shove your way into an official DHS press conference. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
The world of business moves fast. Stay on top of it with the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday. Fox Business reporters, anchors, and hosts will bring you beneath the stock market speculation and boardroom drama to tell you about the biggest business stories of today. Whether you're on Main Street or Wall Street, Fox Business is invested in you.
Listen to the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
Another day, another unhinged Democrat turning up the performance meter for attention and for the benefit of illegal aliens, but mostly for spotlight. Thursday was California Senator Alex Padilla. According to DHS, he attempted a takeover of DHS Secretary Noem's live press conference, refused to obey the officer's repeated commands that he back away, and then, just as he planned, was then forcibly removed from the room. Had he not forced himself into Secretary Noem's personal space, had he identified himself and acted like a dignified human being, let alone U.S. Senator, he wouldn't have been handled that way. But he wanted his own moment. And now, like coordinated clockwork, Democrats are decrying his treatment and insisting it could happen to you. Well, true. If you force your way into a presser and lunge at the DHS secretary, you can bet it'll happen to you. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. For today, look for partly sunny skies, with scattered strong to severe storms possible later into the day, high temperatures reaching the upper 70s to lower 80s. Then for tonight, still that chance for some stronger storms, especially this evening, with lows dropping back to around 50 degrees for Bozeman, closer to the mid-50s, though, for Billings. And that's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Michael Caro.
Hey, you guys have got to watch this trailer for The Real Yellowstone, a film that's coming out soon. It highlights the real ranchers of Montana and the battles they face to hold on to their land. Tom Opry is an outdoor filmmaker based in Montana's Flathead Valley. You got to check out this trailer. I think they're going to have a big premiere coming up in Bozeman very soon. Featured front and center is this battle with the APR.
For Grand Avenue today, advanced employment. They take the stress out of staffing. No lies, no flakes, no problem.
Big topics, big ideas, big sky, Montana Talks.
All right, let's see, man. So much to talk about here this morning on the show, and then coming up in just a few minutes in the 8 o'clock hour, we're going to kick it off with Flathead County Commissioner Randy Brodell. He's going to join us to talk about the lake, the water levels at Flathead Lake. So Flathead County Commissioner Randy Brodell and some other topics we'll get to as well. And then after that, we should have phone lines open for the remainder of the 8 o'clock hour, heading into the 9 o'clock hour of the show as well. So plenty of time for you to jump in on the conversation. Let's see, with just a few minutes left here in this 7 o'clock hour, we got to talk about the incredible parade, the U.S. Army's 250th birthday. It was also Flag Day on Saturday. That's why the radical left decided to march and protest a democratically elected president. Instead of, you know, why didn't they save it for another day? Why did they have to protest on the day? Why didn't they want to celebrate the incredible 250th anniversary of the United States Army and so many soldiers and their families who've sacrificed for this country to preserve our freedoms over all these years? John Fetterman gets it. Why is it that the guy with the brain injury is the only one who seems to have a head on his shoulders on the Democrat side of the aisle right now? What did John Fetterman have to say? I mean, he basically sent out a tweet, saying, hey, there shouldn't be anything political about celebrating the United States Army. And yet look at all these people who wanted to protest and throw a temper tantrum over the 250th birthday parade for the U.S. Army. Here's President Trump talking about that parade. And then I think what I want to share with you, this was really cool. There was the coolest thing about the Army birthday parade was that you just look at the faces of these soldiers hanging out of their vehicles or getting ready to march in the parade. They all looked like they were having the time of their lives. They looked like they were having a great time. Now, most soldiers don't like to do drill and ceremony and march and things like that.
And they certainly don't want to spend a whole day getting ready for it and then doing the prayer. But these men and women were having the times of their lives. They absolutely loved it. Think about it. Think about how many years we were at war in Iraq and Afghanistan. And we never celebrated in a major way all the people that were sacrificing in that war. And that's what these men and women got to have on Saturday to help celebrate the Army's 250th birthday. It's pretty remarkable when you think about it.
A tremendous success with a fantastic audience. It was supposed to rain. They gave it a 100% chance of rain, and it didn't rain at all. It was beautiful. And so I asked if they gave it 100% chance, right? 100% it was going to rain like crazy, and it didn't rain at all. How did they predict 100 years out? And 50 years out, or 200 years out. They didn't do too well, the weather people, last night, but it was beautiful.
Now, another really cool moment was when President Trump, at one point in the parade, and they had different soldiers wearing different uniforms from all of the different time periods going back of our U.S. Army over the last 250 years. That was really cool, seeing the old Vietnam-era uniforms and things like that. But the other cool thing was he had a bunch of soldiers in front of him. It looked like a company plus sized element in front of him. And he swore in new soldiers and re-enlisted currently serving U.S. Army troops right there in front of the commander-in-chief. That was a really cool moment. Montana's U.S. Senator Tim Sheehy, a Navy SEAL veteran, was on CNN with Jake Tapper and had this to say about the U.S. Army's 250th birthday.
Well, listen, I mean, the Army's going to decide how they want to celebrate the 250th birthday of the greatest army the world's ever known. And I think it's appropriate to honor that service for, frankly, just concluding our nation's longest war. The forensic financial analysis of our budget, we were sending $45 million a week to the Taliban. There was not near as much outrage and pearl clutching from my Democrat colleagues when we were sending that amount of week, every single week, that amount of money to the Taliban. But now that we're going to celebrate our nation's 250th anniversary for our Army, I think it's appropriate, and obviously we want to honor our troops, and it's going to be a great day.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Montana isn't a big company state, yet we do have important businesses in our midst. Depending on where you live, you might be familiar with some. Conglomerates like Washington Corp, banks like First Interstate or Glacier, energy and mining companies, or even Northwestern Energy. Here's one that may have escaped your attention, Confederated Salish and Kootenai Tribes. The tribe is many things, but one of the things that's left off the list for many of us is the fact that it's a thriving business, or more accurately, the owner and operator of a range of businesses. There are businesses in manufacturing, power generation, finance, technology, and recreation. Some of those, such as S&K Technologies, have substantial footprints outside the region. Oh yes, CSKT is also a government, with schools, administrative departments, and road and law enforcement employees. Montana's seven other tribes also have substantial business activities, but none match the breadth and scope of Salish and Kootenai businesses that hide from many of us in plain sight. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.